Esther, the Hebrew girl who became queen. Nearly 50,000 children of the captivity had taken advantage of the decree permitting their return. These, however, were no more than a mere remnant. Hundreds of thousands of Israelites had chosen to remain in Medo-Persia rather than endure the hardships of the return journey and of re-establishing their ruined cities and homes. After 20 or more years passed, Darius Hystaspes, the monarch then ruling, issued another favorable decree. In this way, God mercifully provided another opportunity for the Jews to return to the land of their ancestors. The Lord foresaw the trouble-filled times that were to follow during the reign of Xerxes, Ahasuerus of the Book of Esther, and he inspired Zechariah to plead with the exiles to return. Up, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For thus says the Lord of hosts, He sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them, and they shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Zechariah 2, verse 7-9. It was still the Lord's intent that his people should glorify his name. He had given them many opportunities to return to him. Some had chosen to listen, and some had found salvation in the midst of affliction. Many of these were among the remnant that would return. Those whose spirits God had moved, Ezra 1, verse 5, returned under the decree of Cyrus. But God did not stop pleading with those who remained voluntarily in the land of exile, and in various ways he made it possible for them also to return. However, most of those who failed to respond to the decree remained unimpressible, and even when Zechariah warned them to escape from Babylon, they did not accept the invitation. The death decree against God's people. Meanwhile, conditions in Medo-Persia were changing rapidly. Darius Hystaspes was followed on the throne by Xerxes the Great. During his reign, those who had failed to leave faced a terrible crisis. Having refused the way of escape God had provided, now they came face to face with death. Through Haman the Agagite, an unprincipled man high in authority in Medo-Persia, Satan worked to oppose God's plans. Haman cherished bitter hatred against Mordecai, a Jew. Mordecai had done no harm to Haman, but had simply refused to show him worshipful reverence. Not satisfied to lay hands on Mordecai alone, Haman plotted to destroy all the Jews who were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus. Esther 3, verse 6. Haman misled Xerxes, persuading him to order the massacre of all Jews scattered and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of Medo-Persia. Verse 8. The decree set a certain day on which to destroy the Jews and take their property. Satan was behind the scheme. He was trying to rid the earth of those who preserved the knowledge of the true God. In every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing. And many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther 4, verse 3. The decree of the Medes and Persians could not be revoked. Apparently, all the Israelites were doomed to destruction. But in the wise provision of God, Esther had been made queen. Mordecai was her near relative. In their desperation, they decided to appeal to Xerxes in behalf of their people. Esther would dare to enter into his presence to plead for their lives. Who knows, said Mordecai, whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Verse 14. The Great Prayer Meeting. The crisis Esther faced demanded quick action, but both she and Mordecai realized that unless God would work to help them, their efforts would not succeed. So Esther took time to commune with God. Go, she directed Mordecai. Gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Verse 16. The events that followed, Esther's appearance before the king, the favor he showed her, the banquets of the king and queen with Haman as the only guest, the king's troubled sleep, the public honor shown Mordecai, and Haman's humiliation and fall. All these are parts of a familiar story. God acted marvelously for his people. The king issued a counter-decree, allowing God's people to fight for their lives. Mounted couriers went out, hastened and pressed on by the king's command to communicate the decree to the realm. The Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. Esther 8, verse 14, 17. On the day appointed for their destruction, the Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm. And no one could withstand them, because fear of them fell upon all people. Esther 9, verse 2. God had commissioned angels to protect his people while they gathered to defend their lives. Verse 16, NRSV. The king promoted Mordecai to be second to King Ahasuerus, and he was great among the Jews and well received by the multitude of his brethren. Esther 10, verse 3. He worked to promote the well-being of Israel. In this way, God brought his chosen people once more into favor at the Medo-Persian court, making possible his plan to restore them to their own land. But not until the seventh year of Artaxerxes I, who followed Xerxes the Great, did any large number return to Jerusalem under Ezra. The experiences that came to God's people in Esther's day were not unique to that age. John the Revelator, looking down the ages, declared, "The dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Revelation 12, verse 17. Some today will see these words fulfilled. The spirit that led people long ago to persecute the true church will lead to similar efforts against those who maintain their loyalty to God. Even now, preparations for this last great conflict are underway. The final decree against God's remnant people will be similar to the one Ahasuerus issued against the Jews. In the little company keeping the Sabbath commandment, the enemies of the true church see a Mordecai at the gate. God's people reverence his law, and this is a constant rebuke to those who have cast off the fear of the Lord and are trampling on his Sabbath. Satan will stir up resentment against the minority who refuse to accept popular traditions. Important, famous people will join the lawless and the low against God's followers. Wealth, genius, and education will combine to heap contempt on them. Persecuting rulers, ministers, and church members will plot against them. With voice and pen, by threats and ridicule, they will try to overthrow the faith of God's people. By false reports and angry appeals, they will stir up the passions of the people. Not having a "thus says the scriptures" to bring against the Bible Sabbath, they will resort to oppressive edicts to make up for the lack. Legislators will yield to the demand for Sunday laws. But those who fear God cannot accept an institution that violates one of the Ten Commandments. The last great conflict in the controversy between truth and error will be fought on this battlefield. As in the days of Esther and Mordecai, the Lord will give the victory to his truth and his people.